you wake in a strange room. Your clothes are foreign, and the walls are covered in objects from a different world. You don't know where or when you are, or if you're still dreaming. There are footsteps in the hall. Jumping up, you race out of the room and into the streets. You have just entered the Twilight Histories.
Welcome to the Twilight Histories, an audio fiction that casts you as the hero. You are about to pass into an alternate universe. It will be strange, fascinating, and sometimes terrifying. To survive, you can't just be a tourist. You must become the people you explore. This is your adventure. Today's show was inspired by events happening in Ukraine, and in particular, the heroic stand currently being taken by the Ukrainian soldiers at Mariupol. At the moment of recording, the Russians have surrounded the steel factory where the last of the soldiers are holding up. And we're waiting on the edge of our seats for news. Putin has told them that they can no longer surrender. The stress and the fear and the bravery of these soldiers and the civilians they're defending is unbelievable. In today's show, you will take on the persona of a Greek, one of the last survivors of the Black Sea port city of Chimericon, which was sacked by the Scythians. Will you survive? Or have you discovered something worth more than your life? This show is made possible by the generous support of our Patreon community. Without Patreon, we would not be able to create this podcast, which includes multiple writers and many voice actors. If you enjoy this show, please consider becoming a part of our Patreon community. And now, for today's show, The Last Day of Chimericon, by Kevin Valpanese.
You huddle around a dwindling flame, your hands stretched out from under your heavy cloak, your palms trembling as they receive that faint warmth. You wish you could toss in one more log, but the dim glow of these flames already risks betraying you to the wolves stalking the dark reaches outside. Even a larger plume of smoke might catch in the moonlight or drift along the evening breeze, bringing the ravenous pack down upon your heads. And so it is that you and your band of hoplites pass the long hours of the night tucked away in the ruins of Apollo's temple. It's a far cry from the triumphant days when you first disembarked and stepped on the shores of the Tauric Peninsula. As you gaze into the dancing flames, your mind turns to the glorious sun under which you labored to forge a new polis. How long ago was it that you first laid the stones of this fallen shrine? How far and wide did you travel to convey the materials from across the edge of the Hellenic world to this foothold in alien lands? And what sacrifices did you make to cling to this ill-fated city on the slopes of Mount Opuk? The promise of a new world far from old rivalries and the reaches of eastern tyrants drove you to endure many hardships indeed. But now, you're not so sure. Tucked away within the collapsed cella of the temple, hiding like rats, you wonder if the home you thought to build for yourselves was laid on foundations cursed by the gods. Had heard rumors from the colonists at Phanagoria that the Tauric Peninsula was the domain of an ancient and fearsome people. Whispers carried on Paphlagonian merchant ships told of the riders who had even slain the mighty kings of Assyria. Now they then retreated to their homeland at the edge of the world, biding their time until the neighboring lands were overflowing with riches and plunder once again. Those distant nightmares are now manifest, and over the crackle of the fire, you can hear the pounding of hooves somewhere beyond the temple. Your group startles, though everyone knows the drill well enough to stifle their gasps. Desperate hands motion around, fingers outstretched, pointing every which way until they all converge on you. It's your turn now. You are about to protest, but you remember the necessity of silence. So instead, with little other choice, you creep along the temple floor, hands searching to and fro over the cold stone until you touch the wooden shaft of your spear. You seize the weapon, and not far from it, you find your Xiphos waiting as well. Taking up the blade in its scabbard, you fasten it to your waist. You need only one more thing, cumbersome as it may be. You take up a poorly cobbled together hoplon shield, far smaller than you are accustomed to, but still heavy enough to sap your strength as you fasten the grip around your forearm. Your compatriots carefully draw back a heavy stone from a damaged corner of the temple, careful to obscure the light of the flame with their cloaks. The fissure in the side of the temple is just large enough for someone to squeeze through, and it opens up onto the charred remains of a grove once kept by the priests of Apollo. You peer out into the darkness of the night, past the ashen remains of the great juniper trees. You cast your gaze out to the ruins of Chimericon, which are barely visible under the waning light of the moon and the small fires which still dot the city. There's not a soul in plain sight, but you know that predators do indeed stalk the darkness. You can hear the distant sound of hooves, and every now and then, a strange shadow whips past a heap of rubble. You try to anchor yourself in place, but you're prodded forward by your anxious companions. And the fissure is so narrow that you can't even turn to confront them. Reluctantly, you step out into the grove, keeping low and doing your best to avoid the beds of dried leaves which litter the area. You move from tree trunk to tree trunk, doing your best to maintain cover. You keep your spear low and your shield comfortably off the ground to minimize any chance of giving your position away. If just one of the enemy marks you now, then everything will have been for naught. Reaching the edge of the grove, you duck under a fallen juniper and clamber down the side of a slope leading away from the Acropolis and down towards a ravine. You keep as low as possible, creeping past the various rock outcroppings which dot the slope. You get about halfway down before you spy movement in the ruins of the Agora. A number of mounted warriors emerge from under the shadowy cover of a colonnade. The saddles of their horses laden with heavy sacks, likely full of pillaged goods. You recognize the tall, conical caps, long coats and baggy pants of the Scythians. These mounted warriors, hailing from the distant north and east, are of a fearsome cast. Even at this distance, they exude an aura of primal savagery. You've seen firsthand how a Scythian archer might skewer a target from across a plain, and you fear that such accuracy is the product of near godly eyesight. Taking great care not to budge another inch, you lay there, eyes locked on the riders as they patrol around, likely in search of additional spoils, or perhaps survivors. The former is much more likely than the latter, given the utter destruction and gutting fire leveled upon the city of Chimericon. There are plenty of fallen souls laying crumpled in the streets, their bodies riddled with arrows or crushed beneath hundreds of hooves. You choke back tears, thinking of the precious few lives you managed to save, loading those lucky few onto ships and sending them rowing for Anatolia. Moments later, you spy more riders arriving in the Agora. A good 4 or 5 of them, one in particular, looking more resplendent than the rest. This rider is decked out in fine red robes and a sculpted cuirass, likely plucked from one of your fallen strategoi. You mark this rider as one of the barbarian chiefs, and for the first time in this long night, your fear melts away replaced by a burning desire to steal just one victory from under the smothering veil of defeat. Moving in a single file and keeping low, you lead your fellow hoplites down towards the northern edge of the city. You keep to the ruins of the low walls, searching for easy access to the heart of the city. You come upon a number of collapsed sections, but they all lead to wide open areas. Crawling on your bellies, you pass these areas by until you finally come upon an opening that leads towards the ruins of a collapsed home. You creep over the stones and slip into the ruined home. Setting down your spears, you draw your swords and fan out, silently clearing the home until you can all reconvene in the storeroom. You carefully rummage through the smashed amphorae and large sacks scattered about where they fell, finding little more than some stale bread and old figs. It's good enough, and after consuming the scraps, you all huddle around to consider your next steps.
This is your last chance. Once we leave this place, it's our lives or that of the barbarian chieftain.
You glance around, meeting the frightened eyes of your fellow Greeks. They're all young, exhausted, and emaciated from hunger. Not one among your number is free of bruises and cuts, and one unlucky fellow has recently lost an eye. Still, wretched as your present company may appear, there is not a coward among you. Not now, anyway. Nodding, you use your sword to sketch out a rough layout of the city streets.
We have to corner the barbarians if we can. There aren't enough of us to form a proper phalanx. So if we get caught in the middle of two streets, or why did they open, we're as good as dead.
You circle the end of a long street, one in particular without an intersection.
If we can lead them to a dead end, then we can close ranks and pin them down. If we can kill their leader, they might scatter and give the other survivors time to flee to Phanagoria or Hermonassa.
Standing up, you all take a moment to compose yourselves, loosening up and making peace with what will likely be your last night before greeting the ghoulish ferryman. Returning to the entrance of the home, you take up your spears once more, and after surveying the area, you head out in one compact column, keeping low and tight to the toppled masonry littering the streets of Chimericon. Your pace is slow and deliberate, and you do your best to move in total silence, needing to listen for the sounds of hooves as the Scythians roam the city in search of further plunder. Fortunately, in a manner of speaking, the destruction leveled upon the city by the invaders does afford you ample cover. The barbarians have been quick to overrun the defenses, assisted by Colchian slave soldiers in the toppling of the walls and initial leveling of the city's major buildings. Out on the open plains, suffering under an endless deluge of arrow fire, Chimericon's defenders were ultimately overcome and routed. The city held for a brief moment, but the Colchians found ample means of prying open a hole through which the riders could pour and fight a bitter, though costly, battle against the hastily assembled phalanxes that were waiting for them. At this very moment, you are forced to creep over the fallen hoplites, still laying there, crumpled over their shields or impaled by the long lances of the Scythian heavy cavalry. The final battle for the city was a brutal one, and while the barbarians ultimately triumphed, forcing a hasty retreat by the remnants of the army to the few ships still moored in the harbor, enough of you also scattered to more defensible positions near Mount Obek. From there, some semblance of a counterattack could be arranged. But for now, the best you and your fellow Greeks could manage was suicide missions, just like the one you're currently on. round a corner and come upon two Scythians emerging from what used to be the gymnasium, looking displeased with the lack of goods within. The moment passes in an instant. Their eyes turn and find you all standing there at the edge of a rubble heap, and instinctively, they reach for their bows. But you are just a second faster, hurling your spear with such force that it soars through the air and then through the torsos of the two Scythians, killing them instantly. The commotion startles the horses that the now dead barbarians had tied up nearby, and this fresh commotion draws the attention of riders not far away. Fearing encirclement, you give the order to scatter among the ruins, scooping up the spear from a fallen soldier nearby as you go. Mere seconds later, three more Scythians appear on horseback, their bows ready with arrows. One of them dismounts and rushes over to check the freshly fallen bodies, and in that instant, you seize the initiative and lunge out from your hiding place, hurling your spear and knocking one of the soldiers off of his horse. The other Greeks likewise spring from their hastily found hiding places and launch their own spears, skewering the remaining barbarians. The horses from earlier, now panicking, break free from their restraints and ride off, setting off their newly arrived brethren and causing a general stampede. You let the horses run by, and then, after scouring the area for fresh spears or salvaging your used ones from the dead Scythians, you regroup and return to your more measured approach, winding through the ruins and keeping off the streets to avoid detection. The enemy begins a desperate pursuit of the panicked horses, seeking to rein in the beasts as they run wild and unbridled in every direction. Seizing the opportunity, you are able to pick up the pace and take more risky routes and crossings in your search for the real prize. And with the fire still raging around the city and the general disorder of things, the Scythians are apparently finding it impossible to recapture that handful of horses. The impromptu distraction eventually pays real dividends as you emerge onto what used to be the estate of an Archon. Finding the dignity of the massive complex still intact, save for the copious amounts of horse excrement scattered about and the general stable-like conditions of the grounds. It's here that you finally set your sights on the red-cloaked rider from before, no doubt emerging to discern the cause of the commotion. Falling back into the darkness of the back streets, you avert the gaze of the rider, and as he goes to fetch his steed, you signal for everyone to advance quickly. Before the fellow can even settle on his horse, you and the other Greeks have entered the compound, passing through the intact gates and blocking them by assembling in the phalanx formation. The startled Scythian commander panics and whips his horse back before realizing that there's nowhere to go. He maneuvers his horse around a bit, trying not to present an easy target. But as he comes to realize that you aren't budging from your position, he settles down and even begins to laugh. You tighten up your phalanx in anticipation of the shot, just as the rider readies an arrow to his bow. But instead, he faces you directly on and begins to speak in flawless Greek. "The Lydians said you Greeks were remarkable people. Great explorers and the finest warriors west of the Euphrates." The Scythian commander sneers, knocking an arrow to his bow. "I don't see it. We Saka, on the other hand, we have subdued the entirety of the world. You cling to the beaches around the great western sea like frogs around a pond. But we ride wherever we please." The commander casts a mocking gaze around the ruins and rubble of what was once the proud city of Chimericon. "Your little colony is nothing. I have brought my steed to the very walls of Hao Jing and made the great king of Zhou forfeit his finest silks. I plunder the lands of the Shahanshah at will, and I rain my arrows down upon the red-haired savages of the Istros. So who are you to stand here before me now? The Scythian commander raises his bow and looses a shot. You barely get your hoplon up in time, and the arrow tears through the moldy wood, emerging mere inches away from your cheek. From the King of Kings to the most wretched beggars, you are all cattle, ready to be fattened for the slaughter.
No, they're not.
The Scythian commander chuckles, then quickly lines up another shot and fires, once again piercing your shield, but not your flesh.
You barbarians are nothing but wolves. You don't build anything. All you know is how to kill and feast. You live in the moment, but think nothing of the future.
You rest your spear against the top of your hoplon, and your comrades do the same, presenting the bristling wall of iron that is the phalanx.
You can destroy our cities 1,000 times over, but as long as one Greek remains, we will start over again and again.
Then you understand your role well.
The Scythian commander tosses aside his bow and takes up his battle axe.
Come then, show me what passes for valor among the Greeks.
The Scythian warrior kicks his horse into action, charging your phalanx wall head-on, gaining speed with every passing second. You all stand, shield to shield, a single row to blunt the force of the coming rider. Without fear, you dig in your heels and level your spears, determined not to give one inch to the ravenous invader. The moment of impact draws near, and together with your fellow hoplites, you let slip a fearsome battle cry and brace for impact.
That was The Last Days of Chimericon by Kevin Valbenesi. This show was inspired by the tenacity of the defenders of Mariupol. The Twilight Histories podcast is entirely supported by our Patreon community, and this show could not happen without their generous support. When you join our Patreon community, you will get access to shows not available to the public, and you may get your ideas produced into Twilight History shows. You'll also get a gift from us when you stick around for at least 3 months. Depending on your level of support, you'll get a mug, sticker, hoodie, or t-shirt. Please join us on Patreon by going to the website at twilighthistories.com and then follow the link, or go directly to Patreon and look up The Twilight Histories. I'm Jordan Harbour. Thank you for listening to The Twilight Histories. Until next time, take care.